If you will turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, our scripture reading came from there a little bit earlier, and as we see that Paul was speaking of contentment, he was speaking of no matter what circumstances he found his life in, that he was going to be content. Even if it was good times or bad times, he was going to be content. And verse 13, I think, is why Paul could make those statements of contentment, that he could be content no matter what because of his faith. In verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's that great faith that led Paul to say, even if it's a bad time or if it's a good time, I can find contentment in it because of the faith that he had and the fact that anything was possible through Christ. Now, I think we all appreciate greatness, whether it's maybe a speaker who commands the attention of whatever audience that he is speaking in front of, or maybe it's that athlete who can do things that we've never seen before. We appreciate that greatness. William Shakespeare is quoted as saying, some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. Most people think of themselves probably as average or ordinary and don't really think of themselves as being great. But as we see, the people of God are indeed great. The people of God are extraordinary people of great ability. That's right, you are great. You are extraordinary as a child of God. And that's what Paul is telling us in Philippians 4, verse 13. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The Bible teaches us that the Christian is completely equipped to accomplish God's purpose, but not only to accomplish God's purpose, we can be great at it. We can be extraordinary at it. And there's nothing that we can accomplish through Christ. So I'd like to look at Philippians 4 and verse 13 at what Paul says here. And take this verse and kind of break it down and see what it means in our life. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Notice the first word of that verse is I. The word I think, sometimes frightens us. It signifies to us oneness, aloneness, maybe isolation. We like crowds. We like to kind of blend in with everybody else. It's hard to be put on the spot in front of everybody else. And so I, though, implies that personal responsibility that we have. And so it does kind of scare us a little bit sometimes that we are personally responsible. It's not we that are responsible, but it's I that am responsible. And that's kind of a scary feeling sometimes. God's given us certain abilities, and as we see the abilities that he has blessed us with, he expects us to accomplish things in our lives. If you think back of Jesus telling the parable of the talents and of other many lessons, I think we can learn in that is the fact that the abilities that God gives us, he expects us to do things with. He expects us to make the most of the abilities that we have. And therefore, we see that that personal responsibility is, as Shakespeare said, sometimes thrust upon us by the Lord because he expects us to make the most of the abilities that we have. It's easy often to place blame on others or maybe blame circumstances in our life to say, well, you know, it seems that, you know, I can't do this or I can't do that because of the circumstances. You go back to what Paul's saying here in Philippians 4. He says, I'm content in good times and bad, in times of want or in times of where he didn't have any need. We see that he said he was going to be content. We understand that he was able to do that, again, because of the faith that he had. It wasn't the circumstances that dictated Paul's attitude. It was the way that he approached those circumstances. And the same is with us today. It's not the situation that we find ourselves in our lives, or the circumstances that we have in our life that really dictate the attitude that we have. It's how we approach those things. And Paul says, I'm going to be content no matter what, because he had a great faith in the Lord. And while it's easy to place blame on others, or blame the situation or circumstances that we find ourselves in our life, and try to say, well, therefore, I can't control what's going on. I can't control myself. That's not how Paul is approaching this, and it's not how we should as well. Notice something else, and over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 12 that Paul wrote. And notice, as we see, He didn't want to shirk his personal responsibility. The way many people don't want to account for I today, Paul, he didn't have that attitude. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12, he writes, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Some fear I when it comes to service. I don't know enough to teach the Bible, maybe some think. I'm just not qualified to help. That's not what Paul thought at all. Paul knew with God's strength, with the ability that God gave him, that he was able to teach, that he was able to minister. And not only that, he understood that he could be great at it. The Lord has enabled me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those were the words of Paul. I think back to Isaiah 6. Remember Isaiah, God asked the question. He says, who shall I send? And Isaiah spoke up. When the Lord said, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. He understood that personal responsibility. And it's important for us to reach the place in our Christian lives to answer God as Isaiah did. Here am I, send me. Not here am I, but I don't have time. Or not here am I, but send someone else. Not here am I, but I really don't want to. But here am I, send me. That's what Isaiah said. That should be where we reach in our lives, that personal responsibility. As we look at Philippians 4 and verse 13, there's a lot of significance in that first little word, I. I is important. Here am I, send me. The next two words say can do. I can do. Well, in our world of Oprah and Dr. Phil, we're told that people can do anything through positive thinking. If you think it, you can do it. If you think it, you can accomplish it. And as Christians, we do have reason to think positively. The positive thinking, though, is not based on, I think, what that advice is given, though. Our positive thinking is not based on ourselves and our thoughts. Our positive thinking should be based on the Lord. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Paul's talking about the ability the Almighty God who strengthens his people will give. The Almighty God, that's the ability that we can have. And that's where our confidence and faith is in. That's where our positive thinking comes. The Greek word here for can do means empowered by extraordinary means. Empowered by extraordinary means. That's what this means. He says, I can do all things through Christ. Christ will empower us by extraordinary means. Again, we can be great through the strength that the Lord will give. Back at John chapter 15 and verse 15, I think it's interesting because Paul says, I can do. This is what I can do with Christ. Notice that Christ gives us the other side of that as well in John 15 and verse 15. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. There's the can do. We'll bear fruit. But notice what the Lord goes on to say. For without me, you can do nothing. So we see the other side of this as well. Paul says, I can do with Christ. And Christ reminds us, without me, you can do nothing. We see both sides of it. So as Paul says, anything is possible through Christ, we see that with Christ, nothing truly worthwhile spiritually is going to happen without him. And therefore, we see our need to put our faith and our trust in Christ. That's how we can do. So as people of God, we are a can-do people. We are those who can do things, and we, instead of seeing our limitations, should put our faith in God to help develop the abilities and talents that we can do in serving the Lord. Now notice the next part as we go back to Philippians 4 again in verse 13. I can do all things. You know, whenever you're discouraged, I think you need to look back through Hebrews chapter 11. Example after example after example are given there of simply ordinary people who became extraordinary, extraordinary people because of simply their faith in God. You have Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and even Rahab are mentioned there in Hebrews chapter 11. And you know, these people had a lot in common. They were individuals who were obviously not perfect. You can look back through the Old Testament and see their flaws recorded for us. They're very evident that they weren't perfect. They made their mistakes. They sinned along the way. Yet they were individuals who had a faith that could move mountains. And because of that faith, they accomplished great things. And as we look at these and consider this group of people, we should realize the extraordinary things that we as Christians can do if we have faith and let God work in us. That's what all of these examples in Hebrews 11 show us. Again, they weren't perfect, but they had faith. That great things could be accomplished when they put their trust in the Lord. And if we have that same kind of faith, that great things can be accomplished even by us when we put our trust in the Lord to provide the increase, then we too will become extraordinary people. There are many opportunities to serve, and we are called on to all do our part. As the scriptures tell us, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And we must do what we can as one of the few workers for the Lord. And if we do that, as we said, He's going to give the increase. That's the promise that He gives us. So there are many opportunities for us to serve. There are many opportunities for us to be positive role models and examples around to those around us. You know, we cross paths with hundreds of people, I guess, every day. And the question is, what are they seeing in us? Do they see the light of Christ shining in us, or has that light been hidden under a bushel? The greatest sermon that we can preach is one that perhaps we preach without ever saying a word. And that's simply the way that we live our life. The Lord calls on us to be more than, you know, just a Sunday morning Christian. He expects more of us than that. And we need to make sure that we're living our lives so that others can see Christ in us. And that's the opportunity that we have to be that positive role model to others. You remember in Matthew 23 and verse 27 what Jesus said about those who only look the part of being righteous or being spiritual. And He talks about the scribes and Pharisees there and says, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees," and calls them hypocrites. He says, "You're like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all cleanness." Outwardly, they looked religious. Outwardly, they looked like they were spiritual. But inwardly, they were something very different. Lord calls on us to be genuine, to be sincere. What you see on the outside is what should be on the inside as well. One of the reasons I believe churches don't grow is because people stop working on themselves and personal growth. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus reminds them that, reminds us that we need to be concerned about ourselves. And many people, I think, take this out of context when they look at Matthew 7 and say, well, we can't judge anyone else. We can't tell anyone that they're wrong because Jesus says, not to remove the plank from your eye, to worry about yourself, but that's not the point Jesus is making there. Let's look at Matthew 7 and verse 3, what Jesus really says. He said, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Notice Jesus doesn't say, "Don't remove the speck from your brother's eye," but He says, apply the same standard to yourself. And many times we fail to do that. And I think that's the main point of what Jesus is getting there. Apply the same standard to yourself. We need to make sure that we are working on our lives first, getting our relationship right with God first, and then we'll be able to help others grow. When we look at Hebrews 11, those mentioned there were human, just like we are. They sinned and they made mistakes along the way. But they became great because they had a great faith. Why can't we do the same? If we start working on ourselves first, then we can do all things. Going back to Philippians again, chapter 4. Paul says, I can do all things through him. That's the qualifier in the statement, isn't it? I can do all things through him. And that's probably the most important thing that we see there. What makes a Christian have a great faith? What makes our faith great? And it's simple. Our works are through Christ. That's what makes our faith great. Our works are done in the power of Christ, and we are the instruments by which Christ accomplishes his work. Our abilities are his. Our opportunities are by his will. Our power is through him. You know, some will say, well, the power is in you. Believe in yourself and it will happen. Well, that's a little bit misguided. Actually, that's just plain wrong. Believing in yourself is not powerful. Believing in Christ and having faith in his strength, and then it will happen. We have the power that is in Christ to do great things for him and through him. And we need to center ourselves in his will and depend upon that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5, it says, now that we are sufficient, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. It's not in and of us, ourselves. It's through God. That's what we need to remember. Peter adds in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. As I said before, we are the instruments by which Christ accomplishes his work. And therefore, it's the Lord that deserves the glory. He's the one to be glorified, not us. We don't deserve the glory. God does. The Lord does. You know, if you pay a mechanic to repair your car, or if you get a mechanic to repair your car, you don't pay the tools after it's all done. It's the mechanic that does the work. The same thing if you see a masterpiece of a painting. We don't go and say, well, wow, those brushes did a great job with that painting. No, it's the artist that gets the praise for that. And again, we're like the tools, the brushes. We are the instruments that accomplish the will of the Lord. Our work is through Christ. He's the one that deserves and should receive the glory. Therefore, all that we do is through him. I can do all things through him. And notice the last phrase then there in that sentence. Through him who strengthens me. We need to realize that our strength is not in ourselves. It's not in our talents. It's not in our abilities. After all these things are gifts and blessings from God anyway. Our strength is in Christ, the one who strengthens us, as the scripture tells us. God gives us strength to do things that we never thought we could do, when we truly put our trust and our faith in him. Things that we maybe thought we never could accomplish, we are able to if we truly put our trust and faith in him. Again, go back to Hebrews 11. And all those examples of ordinary people who did extraordinary things because of faith. Because of faith. when we increase our faith, when we have a great faith like that and put our trust and confidence in the Lord, then we can do things that maybe we never thought we could do before. We can accomplish great things for the Lord. We can be great. We can be extraordinary when we put our confidence and trust in the Lord. It's He who strengthens us. Paul tells us again that God's people are those can-do people. That we should focus on being able to do the things that God has commanded us to do because God's going to give us the opportunity and the ability to do it. And it isn't our abilities that determine who we are because God has promised us that He's going to give us what we need in order to be successful. Here's the bottom line. It's all about our choices. It's all about, am I going to have that faith? Am I going to do what God has commanded me to do? Am I going to put my trust in Him? That He's going to give me the things that He has promised. It's all about our choices. It's all about our faith. And what choices and decisions that we make in our life. Paul made the choice that I'm going to find contentment. Because of the faith that he had in the Lord, anything was possible. He knew he could accomplish great things. How could a man who had persecuted Christians, who had thrown them in prison, how could a man who had done so many things against the church, against God, how could a man like that make such a turnaround? How could a man then be preaching the very gospel that he hated and that he was having people killed for not long before? How could that ever happen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul was one who, as he was Saul of Tarsus, you would never have thought would ever turn out the way that he did. But because of the choices that he made when he learned the truth, because he was willing to accept it, obey it, we see that he then made choices to serve God and to be zealous. And he did extraordinary and great things for the Lord. And certainly if he can do it, then why can't we? It's all about our choices. And today you're faced with a choice. You can become a can-do worker for the Lord through the strength that He will supply for you. Or basically you can be useless in God's kingdom. That's the choice that is set before you. If you're God's child and you're not the person you need to be, you can make a new start today. Begin making the right choices that you need to make. If you've never given your life to Him to begin with, you can make that choice today as well. Coming, believing in Jesus, repent of your sins, and be baptized as the Lord has commanded us to do for salvation. And we hope that if you've never made that choice, you'll seriously consider that today.